I'd like to welcome everybody today for our rounded breakfast table discussion. And the topic today is milk, milk for the breakfast table. I think a refreshing glass of milk is just that, refreshing, cold, cool, and milk is also good for us. It's good for our bones. It adds strength to our body. So I thought we would talk about milk and how it's related not only to our physical body, but also scripturally.
Milk is good for babies. It's also good for adults, but it's more commonly we think that it's a definite food for babies. That's how they start out, on milk. Is
milk
okay?
For them would be easy to drink it in. They're just not grown up enough to digest anything more than milk.
So are we saying spiritually that we start out on milk? You know, as a human being, a grown person, we're going to start out like a baby on milk?
Yes, if you look at milk to be lighter doctrine.
Yeah.
So where'd you get lighter doctrine from milk?
Diane, I think, was going to reference somewhere in Hebrews.
Yes. When a baby is born, they nurse from their mother, and they nurse milk from their mother. And and they also have alternative methods of feeding babies, or we do have alternative methods of feeding babies milk from the bottle. And that's what babies can eat, is milk. And it nourishes their body. They start out with milk, and it's all they can digest at the time. But it's not very long after they've been born that their bodies start needing more than just milk. So we give them baby food mixed with the milk, and it's still a kind of a creamy, milky kind of ingredient, but it's a little more solid than just straight milk. And then it's not long before we start feeding babies little food chunks in their milk and vegetables and fruit and that kind of thing that are pureed. And so and God is such a great God. He has given so many visible pictures to us in his scriptures so that we can understand our spiritual growth. So in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, this is long after the writer had been to speak with the Hebrews and to teach to them something more than milk. He had fed to them spiritual meat, difficult concepts to wrap their heads around. But he was dealing with them now in this letter to the Hebrews, and it's chapter 5 and it's verse 11. We'll start there and we'll go all the way to 14. He says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." So this writer is saying that these Hebrews he's writing to have become dull of hearing. We had some difficult things to say, hard to be uttered, but now you're dull. You're not really understanding the way that God would want us to understand. And I'll go on, verse 12, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat." So this is definitely not a compliment, and there's nothing wrong with milk. Milk is a nourishing food for babes or babies. But now this writer is saying, you should be teachers. You should be able to serve out this meat to other people, but you're needing just to drink the milk. And let's go on. He says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." So this milk is something that we may start out with. It's good and it's healthy, but we can't continue. An adult cannot continue to live on milk with his physical body nobody can continue to live on milk as they are born, but then they grow from a baby to a toddler to preschool to school age. You cannot stay on milk. Your body won't grow right. So God is saying that's the same thing with your spiritual body. These ideas that I give you that are simple, that's okay, and it's a start, and it's a good start. But you need to be growing up, spiritually speaking. And he went on to say in verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So whatever this strong meat is, it's going to be stronger than the milk, and the meat is going to help us so that we have this ability within us to discern between what is good and what is evil. It is that meat, that stronger doctrine, that is going to help us to be able to understand what is good, spiritually speaking, and what is evil.
It sounds like that what had been said was that anyone that's using the milk spiritually, it would be referring to someone being taught and being led by a teacher to feed them. And they would feed them what is called milk, and that would be someone having the milk would be not skilled in the word of righteousness. They don't know much about God's scriptures or his thoughts and ideas. They stay with these teachings till they reach a certain point where their soul is asking to be fed a little bit more. And there may be questions that a new person that is studying God's words and getting his ideas within their mind. And when they grow up a little bit in those thoughts and ideas, then they're requiring a little bit more heavy kind of thoughts and ideas, moving on to a different level. And that is a feeding to our souls. And by that, it's helping us grow. And what it's helping grow is we get these godly thoughts and ideas in our mind, and it's fleshing out more of what we need to be more skillful in the word of righteousness.
Well, the scriptures do show that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, and that's in 1 Peter 2:2, see? And so that's shown as newborn babes. So it's not something that we made up somewhere along the place, but we are following some of God's words. And so as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. So that's letting us know that the milk equates word or word. And it always seems good to give some of the parables. Like, I know this sounds simple to us, but Jesus, when the disciples asked what the meaning was of some of the parables he gave, he had a key or a way to unlock God's word so that they could understand it. And he said that the parable was this: the seed is the word of God. So with that idea, we can really go places. We can show the four types of the earth. We can show that the earth's a picture of our mind. And in Jeremiah, where it talks about in 22:29, says, O earth, hear the word of the Lord. So now we can hear words, and we can have these seeds planted within our mind. And as we mix faith with them, then they start to grow, just like your garden does. As you put seeds in your garden, in the earth, and it starts producing. Takes a little while, has to germinate, and it has to be tilled a little bit, has to be watered a little bit, and those are all spiritual ideas also that Jesus brought to us so that we can start building a garden within our mind or so many different things, but it's always feeding to hear something that you halfway know about or you understand And that's basically what Jesus was doing with the disciples, was explaining things in the natural so that they could understand them in a spiritual application. Like the parable is this, the seed, a man went out to sow seed, and they didn't know what that all meant. And so when they asked, he gave them some understanding by saying the seed is God's word, and you put it in your mind. And that's how it grows in the natural. That's how it'll grow in your mind also.
Well, if I'm going to have milk and I'm going to be a baby, then who's going to be my mother? I mean, does that talk about that in the spiritual or in the Bible? Or how does that work? Who's going to give me what I need or supply me with what I need?
I was thinking of someone who is new, maybe new to the Word of God, has desired to know what the Bible means and yet does not know, has not studied. And so the Bible is, I have talked to people that say, I've tried to read it, I just don't understand it. Mm-hmm. So this might be somebody that's listening to this phone call that maybe has that, is in that place where they want to understand the Bible, they want to understand the Word. And I want to go back to where Jerry mentioned just a few minutes ago in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. And I like that next verse. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So, mm-hmm. you know, babies, they like you said, they feed on the milk from their mother. And the mother is God's Holy Spirit, by the way. And God's Word and Spirit is what feeds us. And so God's Word is the Bible, is the Word of God. And it's as we begin to get this light doctrine, as was said, light means it was broken down. It was simple, easy to understand, easy to be digested. As someone said, that a baby can't digest meat. But that's the same thing with a person, anyone coming to God's Word and wanting to understand and wanting to know, then you're going to start with just the basics, some of the basic concepts. And some of those Jerry just touched on also. The seed is the Word of God. So there is a key, what we call a key scripture, and that would be a beginning of some understanding for someone to begin to understand about God. And they want to get a taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that God is gracious. And so in that taking in of this simple message, then that's what's going to help grow. And then as we grow, as was said, we're going to take in, we can understand deeper concepts and more complicated understanding the mysteries of the kingdom of God.
Just like when a young child starts school, they're about 5 years old usually, and they start in kindergarten. I know there are preschools where they start to learn some basic concepts. But then they start in kindergarten and then go to first and second, and they go to elementary school, and then they move on up to middle school, and then they move on up to high school, and some choose to go on to college. And there's a lot of knowledge that's available to mankind. But in each one of those grade levels, something new is taught, more advanced knowledge, more details, more information. And it really is that way with God also, as we learn about God. It's rather simple, really. When we come to God, we are very young in God, regardless of our age. But when we do have that moment where we choose God and want to walk in His path, regardless of our physical age, we're still babes. We're still just starting out. And we start out with milk. And typically we're told you need to be baptized. And so we go to the minister and we are baptized with water, usually. But then as we start to read the Word and study the Word, we see that Jesus said that we need to be baptized with Holy Ghost and fire. Hell, did you learn about that when you were a baby? I don't think so. When we were first starting out, we were believing that the water baptism was what we needed, and that's all that we needed to be baptized. But then as we start to study and read, we see beyond the water baptism, there's this baptism with the Holy Ghost, which is God's Holy Spirit, and fire. And there are keys to let us know that fire, our God is a consuming fire in one scripture in Hebrews. But in the Old Testament, it says that God's word is a fire. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? So we have to be baptized with God's Holy Spirit and with his fire. So have we gone through that? If we don't know, probably we haven't. Because when we are going through the Holy Ghost and fire baptism, we know it. You don't forget it. It's ongoing. It's not a trip down the aisle and have a water baptism. It's not a one-time experience. It's ongoing. It's deliberate. It's sincere. It's a fight. It's a battle. It's a choice. It's all of those things to stay with God and to choose God. And to continually choose God, and to choose God's word, which is his fire, and to continually choose his word every day, every battle, continue to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Make that choice. And it's different than the water baptism. There's nothing wrong with the water baptism. It's when we make our commitment to God. It's beautiful. It's a commitment. It's sort of like when you make a wedding on your wedding day, and you make a vow. That's how it is with our relationship with God. This Holy Ghost and fire is going to be like a marriage. We start with our water baptism, and that's a beautiful thing, just like our wedding is a beautiful thing. Two people love each other, and they're going to commit their lives to work with each other till death do them part. That's what the Holy Ghost and fire baptism is with God. We start a relationship with our water baptism, but we get into our relationship and it gets real, and we have to make choices every day. Am I staying in this relationship or am I bailing out? Just like the marriage, am I going to stay in the relationship or am I going to bail out? So with our relationship with God, it gets heated because evil does not want us to grow God. Jesus said, it was Paul. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So God's Spirit is wanting to dwell in us, and he wants to put those seeds, as someone said, the seed is the Word of God. He wants to put his Word in us, his seeds in us. He wants us to have his Spirit, and he wants to grow in us. He wants us to be his people, and he wants to be our God.
Amen. One of the things for you, if you're coming in and searching for God, God has touched your life and awoken you from where you were, your condition. I'd like to share with you a very important message, and that is that God is love and God is merciful. So if you find yourself in sin, he has shown you your sin. God says you confess your sin. He is righteous and just to forgive all unrighteousness. So not to get excited. God is love. He's compassion and mercy.
Well, boy, that's a feeding. As we conclude our round the breakfast table discussion, that milk was very cool and refreshing and delicious. And we thank you for joining us and have round the table breakfast discussions every Wednesday. So please join in next time. And we appreciate you very much and have a wonderful, wonderful week.